Change this right in, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Bob Bowen, okay. Speaker this morning, brother, excuse me, sinuses. Brother Henry Davis Jr., sermon topic, Who is the Holy Spirit? Scripture is John 14, verse 15 through 18. Scripture reader, Roy Darnell. Presiding at the Lord's table, Nick Cimentero and Charlie Hopkins, Jr. Closing prayer, Greg Schreiber. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this time that you've given us to come together for this service. We pray, Father, that everyone present, Father, will have an open and a receptive heart to this lesson and to the service and will benefit therefrom. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. We will turn to your books, page 820. 820. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
On Jonah's army base I stand, and castle with full heart, to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land by God. Does the cross on the evergreen shore? Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by. Heaven dwells with Jesus evermore. For all those wide accepted place shines one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns, and sinners die away. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by. Just the cross on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by. Heaven dwell with Jesus evermore. Build with delight my raptured soul, would here no longer stay. Those doors may around me roll, fearless I once obeyed. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
Before we go into God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 763. 763. Sing all three verses.
Oh, land of rest for thee, a time will the moment come. When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home, will wait till Jesus comes, will wait till Jesus comes, will wait till Jesus comes and will be gathered home. through Jesus Christ, our faith for grace he made, receives to Rome, and the poor sucker on his breast will he cut on me home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will be ever home. I saw that once my Savior sighed no more, my steps shall go with him upbraided till he come and reach my heavenly home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and
would you bow with me, please? Dear Father, as we come together this Sunday morning, we want to thank you for the many blessings of this life. Now, this day, we want to say a special prayer for our brother Vince Chimatero. We want to thank you, dear Father, for blessing us with his presence in this congregation from the time he was an infant. We pray that you will bestow many successes upon him in his business career and his life, that he'll stay faithful to you. Help us always, dear Father, to realize that you bless us in so many ways that we have a hard time counting them. You bless us with our children. You bless us with our work. You bless us with ability second only to yours. And we thank you for that. Pray that we'll always use those abilities you give us in a way that will meet with your approval. We pray also this day, dear Father, for the sick of our number. Pray that you will help them to heal quickly and build their faith. And you be with those of our number, dear Father, whose faith has diminished. It's hard to go through this life and stay strong faithfully all the time, but with your help we can do it. We pray for one another, dear Father, and we pray for this nation and for the people around the world that they may work together in harmony. We pray, dear Father, for the leaders of Hamas and the leadership in Israel that they'll find a way to bring peace to that ravaged land and that the suffering of the Palestinians and the Jewish community may end. Help us, dear Father, that we look for goodness in one another and that we realize that goodness is a patient part of the gift from you. And not to always be looking for the evil. We can defeat the evil, dear Father, if we work together. We pray this day for our brother Hank as he brings us the message. We thank you, dear Father, that he and Gilbert and the others who minister to us, that they'll study well and bring us your truth that we may grow. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 330. 330. We'll sing all three verses.
Why did my Savior come to earth?
Come to the part of our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read a couple verses here. This is coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, starting at verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Scripture's just talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ there. It's talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper. It's what we're about to partake of. It consists of two emblems, the bread, which represents his body, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, and that represents his shed blood. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7, is clarified that the Lord's Supper should be observed on the first day of the week as part of our worship. It's further clarified in that book by Paul that the Lord's Supper is a spiritual feast. It's a time for us to clear our hearts and minds of everything else that we got going on. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about anything else right now. This is a time to solely and clearly reflect back on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what his sacrifice did, the opportunity that it gave each and every one of us. And that in so doing so, we might be able to partake of it in a way, in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto him. So at this time, we're going to give thanks for the bread, which represents his body, and then we'll partake of that emblem. And then following that, we'll offer thanks for the cup or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood, and then we'll partake of that emblem. So at this time, would you bow as we offer prayer for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time we're so mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, Father. We're thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did, Father. All of the teachings and the miracles, all the different lessons and parables that he brought and taught, Father. But Lord, we're especially thankful for his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father, for all the pain and suffering that he was willing to take on for us, Lord. And at this time, Father, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, Father, Lord, we just pray that we partake of it in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do, for all thy blessings. We're especially thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for thy great plan of salvation, Heavenly Father, to know that this world could not save itself from the punishment of sin, to know that thy Son Jesus, who is without sin, who lived a perfect life, was willing to give his life on that cruel cross, to know that he had the power at any time, Heavenly Father, to be able to save himself, to spare himself of this cruel death and punishment, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to come together on this first day of the week, to be able to come together to clear our minds as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood. And we just pray that as we're about to partake of it, that we do so in a manner that'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have been mistakenly overlooked in the passing or receiving of either emblem. So at this time, if you were missed in the bread or the cup, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. Next, we're going to move into another portion, other act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul clarifies that giving is indeed an act of worship, part of our biblically commanded obligation on the first day of the week as we assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The next book over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, though, it talks a little bit more about the manner and the mindset that we should have as we give. I just want to read a couple verses here. This is the Apostle Paul writing. This is directed at the church there, but applies to all of us. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So this is a commandment, but it's really an opportunity for us to give back just a small portion of what the Lord has so richly blessed us with. When we think about everything that we have in life, whether it's our health, our talents, our jobs, our ability to go out and earn a wage, earn a salary, provide for ourselves, our family, all these blessings, even our ability to get to the building this morning, all these blessings flow from God. So this is a chance as part of our biblically commanded first day of the week act of worship to give back just a small portion of what the Lord has so richly blessed us with. So we'll have that opportunity now. And before we do so, let's give thanks for that opportunity to give. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne. Father, at this time, we're just so mindful and thankful, Lord, for all the many, many blessings of life that you've so richly blessed each and every one of us with here, Lord. And Father, at this time, as we have that opportunity on the first day of the week to give back a small portion of what you so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father, Lord, help us to have that that cheerful heart, Father, that willing heart, not to have a manner or mindset of compulsion, Father, or requiredness, but that mentality that we have a great opportunity to give back what you so richly blessed each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, we just pray that any collection that's collected, Father, help to further the work of the church here, Father, and that the contribution to help to broaden the borders of thy kingdom, Lord. And Father, we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 860. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. 806. After marking that, please turn to page 808. 808. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and I'd like to ask all those that can stand to stand. 1, 2, and 4.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with speed of hope. Join in a song with speed of hope. And us around the throne and us around the throne. We'll march into Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Yonder we're marching upward to Zion, yonder beautiful city of God. Let those be used to see who never knew our God. For children of the heavenly King, for children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Young we're marching upward to Zion, young the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs of love and every tear be dry. We're marching through with man was wrong. We're marching through the thankful ground to bear worlds on high, to bear worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Young we're marching upward to Zion, Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, Zion, the beautiful city of God.
This morning's sermon is entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit? The scripture reading for this lesson will come from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, Brother Henry Davis, Jr.
Thank you, Brother. Good morning, Church. It's always a pleasure. It's always an honor. It's always a great joy to be able to be here this morning, to be able to get up out of our beds, to be able to have another opportunity to fellowship together, to be able to worship, sing songs of praise, to be able to take the Lord's Supper, to be able to be here and give God all the praise, honor, and glory that he deserves. It's truly an honor, it's truly a pleasure, and to be able to stand before you once again and to be able to give another portion of the Lord's word. It's beautiful, again, beautiful and honorable to be able to do so. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are our honored guest. We are so glad you chose to come out and visit and to worship with us today. And if you, before you leave, please do not leave right away. Give us an opportunity to meet you. as always, you know, Scripture tells us that true worshipers will be held by the Spirit to worship the Father according to the truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship Him, because God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must be led by the Spirit to worship Him according to the truth. John 4, 23 and 24, and Ephesians 5 and 20 says, always give thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as always, I say, grace and peace be to you all from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I always have to start a lesson by letting everyone know that God loves us, that He cares for us. He's looking after us right now. All things are possible through Him. That Jesus died many years ago on the cross, rose up from the tomb, and ascended into heaven, where He is now sits on the right hand of the Father and speaking to God on our behalf. That as I stand before you, I believe in Him, the one they call Jesus. That without Him, we can do nothing, but with all things, with Him, everything is possible according to His purpose. This morning, did we have have to brave the ever-changing temperatures and moods of Michigan weather, but we were also gifted, I guess you can say, with the beginning of daylight savings time this morning. Yes, that less than anticipated daylight gaining, clock changing, sleep losing, spring forward time of the year. So I guess that means that if the preacher puts you to sleep this morning, then I guess you got a built-in excuse, right? Because you lost an hour of sleep. So, however, let it not be said that even as uncomfortable as losing an hour of sleep may be, we can still, yes, we can still find inspiration in the Scriptures about rising early. Psalms 5 and 3 reads that in the morning, Lord, You hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before You and wait expectantly. Psalms 119 and 147 reads, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in Your word. And when we go and look at the New Testament book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, and He prayed. In other words, rising early provides us with an opportunity to give God our first fruits, to roll away our burdens, hear His teaching, and enjoy His love through prayer, through thanksgiving, through supplication. We can go back to Psalms again, Psalms 147, 8 through 10, where it reads, let the morning bring me word of Your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in You. Show me the way I should go, for to You I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in You. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. May Your love, may Your good spirit lead me on level ground. Again, just beginning the day early in the morning, seeking God's grace before doing anything else, not concerning ourselves with what the day may bring, but thanking Him for the day, knowing that He will never leave us, but will be with us all day, every hour, whether we choose to spring forward or fall back. God, Your good spirit, lead me on level ground. May Your spirit lead me. May Your spirit. This morning we're going to discuss who is the Holy Spirit of God. As Christians, we all have a confident, clear understanding, right, of who God the Father and who Jesus the Son is. The Holy Spirit is as equally vital to the Godhead as the Father and the Son. After all, we do baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, do we not? We do this. However, the Holy Spirit and the way and the works of the Holy Spirit can sometimes, just sometimes, be veiled in mystery more than that of the Father and the Son. And the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit many times and by many names. The Holy Spirit goes by the Holy Ghost. If you go look at your Bible, you can see the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Advocate, and many, many others. Our scriptures this morning, Jesus says that the apostles, prior to the crucifixion of Christ, that the people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or know Him. They don't see or know Him. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But you know the Spirit. He's talking to His apostles, who is with you, who will keep you on living in and living in you, so that you know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is what? He is a personal part of God. But not only that, that the Holy Spirit is a person within us, that we interact with the Holy Spirit. We do this on a personal basis through a relationship. Jesus says in John 14 through 20 and 26 that, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said through to you. So it is through our relationship right now with the Holy Spirit that God sends His love personally to us. You can go to Romans 5:5, where it says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. It's a gift from God. So let us take a deeper dive into truly understanding who the Holy Spirit is. And let me just start by saying, as I told Brother Bob, there is a vast amount of information on the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I can promise you that it could take a couple of weeks to really break it all down. I'm not going to do all that in one sermon. But we are going to delve on a piece over to try to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit truly works in our life. So let's start with, what Scripture tells us about who the Holy Spirit is. Well, when we go to Scriptures, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was with God, that He was with God before the creation of the earth. Yes, He was. You can go to Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2 reads that, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I know I've kind of studied this a little bit. Some people say, we're just talking about the wind. We're just talking about things like that. But we're going to go back to this in just a moment. Matthew 1:20 says that Jesus Christ was conceived on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus when He was baptized. Luke 3:22 says, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son whom I love, and I am well pleased. And we know that in Acts 2:4 that the Holy Spirit was present at Pentecost. In fact, the Holy Spirit again is mentioned by one church, His name more than 100 times throughout Scriptures. More than 100 times. Now, I want to kind of go back to that Scripture I read in Genesis, because every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, if you were to write my name down, Hank Davis, you're going to put down capital H or capital D. And anybody else's name, when you write your name down, you use capital letters to identify that as a person, correct? When you go to Genesis 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit's name is written with capital letters. The Holy Spirit has a gender. The Bible identifies Him as He, not it, but He. In every significant event in the Bible, He is present. Who else is present in those significant events in the Bible? Who else is present? Well, we know that in the beginning, God was present. We know that Scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So we know that Jesus was also present. And the Holy Spirit, now we know, is the third pillar of God's divine order, of His divine order, of His divine Trinity. We know this from Scripture. We know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning and conceived mankind. That's in Genesis 1:26. Yet there is a sequential order to which they would directly impact mankind. There is a sequential order in which the Trinity impacted mankind. Let's go to John 16:7-11. John 16:7-11, and there it reads that, "But very truly I will tell you that it is for your good that I am going away." This is Jesus talking to his apostles prior to his crucifixion, that he says, "I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world will be wrong, and the sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now already stands condemned." Now, when I talk about the sequential order, we know that in the Old Testament, that we have scriptures where God the Father walked with man, talked to Abraham, and we know and talked to Moses. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin in the New Testament, part of this order. And then he came, and he died for us. And now we're in the other part of the order where the Holy Spirit has come. Once Jesus had to go, so this had to happen. Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come, so God could keep and complete his divine order. So let's go on. So Jesus in human form could only occupy, this is another reason why Jesus had to go. He could only, in his human form, in his flesh, he could only occupy one place in one space at one time in the flesh. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, he can dwell within all of us. He is in all of us at all of the time. This is what Jesus promised. He said that wherever two or three, and this makes so much sense now to me. He says, "Where more two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." So if you got two or three and the Holy Spirit is within you, that he's already that third. If you just got two, think about that a minute. Matthew 18:20, that was not a promise, but he could keep after the flesh. And what I'm saying is that is not a promise he could keep. I'm talking about Jesus after the flesh, he could not keep that promise after the flesh, but he could keep that promise after the Spirit. He had to go away for that promise to be made true. If Jesus was present bodily here on this earth, think about that. If he was still here, there would be some Christians that would be overjoyed. You know, they would be so happy. They would be in his immediate presence as the apostles were all the time. Think of the throngs of people that he would preach to. But for most Christians, for a lot of Christians, they would have to be an overwhelming sense that Jesus could not be with them. And if you just think about his travels in the New Testament, where he would have all these throngs of people. People were knocking down roofs to get down to him, just trying to touch the hem of his garment. Because he was Jesus to Christ, but everybody couldn't reach him all at the same time. And there was times, the Scripture tells us, when he was trying to get to certain places, that people thought that if you had just come earlier, my daughter would still be alive. Even though he performed the miracles. But this is what we're talking about now. It would be overwhelming in this world today, especially. So we have an advantage to say that we have the Holy Spirit to be with all of us now. And that Jesus was, and truly it would be to our advantage. This is what he would say to his apostles, that he let him know that his time on earth was coming to an end and the Comforter's time was about to come. So let's talk about what he said the Comforter was going to do. He said that the Comforter was going to identify with that sin, that conviction. So when we think about today, When we think about that, what we call, what Gilbert and I was kind of talking about this last week. We're talking about that intuition, those gut feelings that turns our hearts away from sin, that thing that we know is wrong. That's that Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, trying to keep us on that straight and on that narrow, that we are convicted by bad behavior, that we just can't do what the world what we want us to do when we have the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, trying to get us to do what's the right thing. And we have that battle sometimes because Scripture also tells us about this flesh not having anything good in it. So there's always a tug of war there. We have to submit this flesh. Scripture said we got to submit this flesh to the Holy Spirit and let that Holy Spirit guide us the way Jesus would have us to guide us. Christians don't, again, it is not okay to give yourself the title of Christian. It's not okay to give yourself the title of Christian if you don't want to act Christ-like. You cannot do that. It talks about faith. It says that this world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they don't see Him. So now you got people, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. We have to have faith. We have to know that that Spirit that dwells within us is what guides us. We cannot worry about everything that we see. Everything we see, the Bible says, we have to have those things that we hope for, and things are unseen. We talk about judgment. The judgment of Satan himself is already at a reckoning with God for that rebellious creature. The Holy Spirit warns of this world is coming to that judgment. Jesus will say to his apostles, I have much, much, much more to say to you, but it's more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. So this is the other piece. Everything in order, decent and in order for God and the Godhead. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. He reiterates this, that it is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So there's just some things that we can't know yet. It's John 16, 15, 12 and 15. So in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying, look, he is saying, look, I have a lot more to tell you. But just like that old movie line would say, but honestly, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle all the truth. So the Spirit's going to have to come and guide you through it. He's going to have to come and guide you through it and give it to you in bits and pieces so where you can handle it, so you can receive it. This is truly the personal aspect of the Holy Spirit. This is the personal aspect of Him. This is why it is so important for us to try to really grasp that relationship with Him. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us has a personality. He can grieve. He can be encouraging. He is sympathetic. He is stern with us, especially when it comes to sin. When we know we've done something wrong and that flesh wants to hang on to it so much, and the Holy Spirit will convict us to the point we'll make us sick. That is Him being stern to have us to go into repentance on that thing, whatever it could be. He is our intercessor. He can pray for us. Romans 8 and 26 says He can pray those things that we don't know to pray. And He can speak on us in behalf of groanings that we cannot comprehend. That we cannot comprehend. This is what the Holy Spirit is. We can speak about repentance. We can speak about forgiveness. We can talk about faith, prayer, love. These are the personality traits. The personality traits of the Holy Spirit dwelling within all of us who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that belief is what's important. Because again, the Scripture says that the world don't believe, they haven't seen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So even our very bodies that He dwells in, we need to take care of because it is a temple to this Holy Spirit. We are His. He is in us. Okay? Greater is He in you than He that is in the world. John 1, 4 and 4. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit works in us. This is who He is. This is who he is when he works in us to try to keep us and guide us in this world in which we live in right now today. We have, you know, he is an agent of creation and mankind. He is the conceiver of Christ here on earth. He is an advocate for man to God the Father through the Son. Through the Son. He is the third personality of God in the Holy Trinity. Scripture tells us in Genesis 2 and 7 that the Lord God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, see, it was at that point that God made man into his own image. Why? I'll tell you. See, when we look at that piece of scripture, it said that God breathed the breath of life into man, and he became a living soul. So when we look at everything that God created, nowhere else in scripture does he talk about God breathing the breath and life into other creatures. Yet we know that fish were still swimming. We know that birds were still flying, right? And we know that the creepy things were still, well, creeping. But because he made man in his image, he made man a triune. He made man as he made himself. You have Father. You have the Father, the Creator. You have the Son, the Savior. You have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And man was given a living body to have a living soul and a godly spirit. So you had the three create a three. And this is where man became made in God's image. And the Spirit dwells in us all. He dwells in us all. Our Comforter, our Advocate, our Helper. The reason why the Scripture says that I will never leave you nor forsake you makes so much sense. Because why? He's never going to leave you because he's in you. He is in you. And we just need to follow him. Scripture says, lo, I will be with you always. So who is the Holy Spirit? Once again, along with the Father and along with the Son, he is God. He is God. And there's just so much more. This is really just the surface. Just to find out who he is. How long he's been here, how long he's been in us, and in the world right now, when things change so much, when right is wrong, wrong is right, up is down, and things that we know are wrong, things that we know that when we were kids, you know, would never fly, are now being trying to be justified and be okay with today. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, it needs to guide us, because we live in a crazy world now. And we have to understand that God is with us all the time. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He's a part of us. And he's just as close to you as the skin on your toes. So if you're here this morning and you're not yet a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand. This guy's already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin. That whoever shall believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. Believe his word, repent of his word, of your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, and be baptized and come up out of the water and walk in the newness of life, and God adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. Again, not by vote of man or decision of man, but God alone adds you to his church. If you are already a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, if you've lost faith, if you've leaned on your own understanding, understand that you have a personal Savior dwelling right within you. And we need to really rely on him. If you are in need of prayer, prayer always works. Prayer always works. There's power in prayer. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, whatever your needs this morning, who at the door is standing, Please stand, please make them known. Come forward, have a seat on the first pews together. We stand and sing the song of invitation. May God continue to bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Who at the door is standing? A I will abide.